Hello and welcome to episode 16 of the Book Wars podcast. I'm Chris and I'm here with my co-hosts, Kate and Kristen. And this week we are going to be talking about A New Dawn by John Jackson Miller. This is our second podcast about this book, and we're going to be talking about chapters 18 through 36 as Kate just silently squeezes in the background because...
Panera!
Thank you for knowing exactly where I was going with that. On the same page. Once again.
Marriage.
I was going to say, that's why I'm married.
It's funny how that works.
It's great.
Before we get started, as always, what are y'all drinking?
Kristen.
What are you guys drinking? I know you're drinking beer.
We're drinking the same thing that we were last week.
Flattest beer, because we went on vacation last week.
Oh, was it in a growler?
In the fridge. Mm-hmm. Correct.
Oh, yeah, that's yucky.
It was. Still tastes good.
It's just
kind of flat. It's the Flying Dog Sunflower Pills for those who missed our last episode and or don't memorize our beer selection.
We've got some flat Prosecco that we can also drink, except Chris doesn't want me to drink it today.
Okay. You have beer.
It's so?
Fine. Oh my God.
No,
stop fighting, Mom and Dad. I am drinking a 2016 Willamette Valley Rosé It's called Guild Winemakers, which essentially is like a co-op of Portland, Oregon Vinters. So
that's really awesome.
It's a dry rosé. It's delicious.
I'm not gonna lie. I was not aware that you could drink wine that was harvested in 2016 already.
Yeah, I mean, rosé and white wine.
I thought even white wine had to age.
Oh, it does a little bit. Yeah, it doesn't have to be very long. It depends on what it is.
Clearly, all those winery tours that I've been on have not really done any good for me.
Well,
I've been on the same winery tours, and I listen with my ears, Chris.
Well, makes one of us.
It has to do with what it's aged in. So if it's aged in steel, then it's not really going to gain any characteristics from aging in the steel other than the grapes maturing a little bit. Whereas, like, if it's aged in oak barrels, that's why, like, a Chardonnay, you would...
Yeah,
you know,
that sounds familiar.
Anyway, doesn't matter. That's for another podcast.
You should only ever use oak for red wine or whiskey. That's all you should ever use oak for.
That's right.
Wow, okay.
Anyway, back to...
Oak Chardonnay is gross. That's what Chris is saying, and I totally agree.
That is true, though.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Okay, Chardonnay is gross generally, but anyway.
No, it's not. We have some good un-oak Chardonnay here, and it's good.
I don't believe you.
I'll give you some when you're here.
What is it? Is it steel Chardonnay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Interesting. I've had steel Chardonnay before, and it's better, but it's not my fave.
I know, but it was probably... Was it in California?
Probably.
Yeah, Chardonnay tastes like brackish pea water.
Okay, everybody relax. Me and Chris will talk about this on our beverage podcast. As usual, I'm getting us off track because
anyway,
I have too much information.
Indeed. All right, so anyway, back to the alleged subject of this podcast, which is Star Wars, and specifically A New Dawn. Obviously, as Kate is thrilled by, we get a lot of Kanera in this book. It is ostensibly about how Kanan and Hera met, because it came out around the same time that Star Wars Rebels launched. But we also get a lot of kind of like imperial internal politics and rivalries and a view of the corruption, which I don't know, I found really interesting.
Oh yeah, I mean, we've already had plenty of examples of that, especially in Thrawn, but it's always nice to just reinforce exactly how ridiculous things can get.
Yeah, what's the lady captain's name?
Sloane.
Yeah.
Captain Ray Sloane.
Yeah. I found myself, like, siding with her on some stuff because she thinks Vidian is, like, a crazy person. And I'm like...
Because he is a crazy person.
But I'm like, also, she's also not great. So it's like, we get this weird big continuum again. And I think we're going to talk about that just as far as, like, on the rebellion side. Versus the Empire side.
Oh, definitely. And just quick side note, Ray Sloane is one of my favorite non-film, non-screen media characters.
Yeah, she comes up in what, Aftermath? The Aftermath trilogy, right?
Oh, yeah, she's one of the main characters of the Aftermath trilogy.
I'm excellent for that. I like her. Well, I mean, I like reading about her. I don't know if I like her yet. Oh, I'm also drinking a yellow LaCroix.
a yellow LaCroix.
Also, Ray Sloane continuing the awesome tradition of ladies of color in Star Wars.
Correct.
Well, actually, there is not an awesome tradition of ladies of color in Star Wars because Star Wars is all white people. But
on the screen.
On the screen, it's true. So, ladies of color in Star Wars lit.
Yes, fair.
How about that?
Yeah. I was going to say something.
So, yes, I want to know more about her. You know, like, we don't get a ton of her in this book for, you know, for story reasons, and I understand why, but I'm excited to read more about her, definitely.
We're gonna get a bit more, and then obviously you get more in Aftermath as well.
Cool. Awesome.
But anyway, back to A New Dawn, because we're not reading Aftermath yet.
Oh, it's also one of the better names. Like, actually a good name. Ray Sloan is a great name.
Bomb name. It's a super cool name.
It is. It's even better when you put Grand Admiral in front of it. Just saying.
Whoa. Ooh.
Just saying. Anyway, back to this book. And speaking of another Grand Admiral, just like Thrawn, Vidian sucks at politics.
Oh my god, so, like, Vidian's so bad at it.
One of those motherfuckers who, he's just not good at it.
Yeah, it's true.
It's very interesting.
Yeah, I don't know.
And he,
know.
Admits, it was funny because he, like, admitted it, and I was like, wait, I guess that's right. I didn't really pick up on that before. Like, when it was when I was reading it, I didn't read it as that he was bad at politics. I just read it as he didn't give a shit what anybody thought of him or something. And then he's like, I'm bad at politics. And I was like, oh, I guess he is really bad at politics. And maybe that's why he doesn't give a shit.
Right. I mean, it's kind of fascinating just because he's presented as this really powerful, really authoritative figure. And obviously because he's cybernetically enhanced and he's leading the operation and he can literally murder you with his hands, his shiny metal hands. But it's fascinating also to see how caught up he really is in the petty everyday Imperial politics. What's that guy's name? His rival, Baron Dantha? Is that
Baron Danthy. Dantha.
I don't
know. Dantha.
Sure. It just, like,
Space Jammins.
And he just hates this guy. And I'm just imagining Baron Dantha as this little man who's just, like, a little bit overweight and kind of on the short side. And he's just fucking Vidian up at every turn. And it's hysterical to see him, this really powerful cyborg dude, caught up in just this rivalry with this, what I assume is this tiny man who's just there, who they've just spent all their time trying to just fuck each other over, and it's hysterical. It's really funny.
Do we learn more about him and why they hate each other so much? I assume we do.
I don't know that we learn a ton more. I think we learn, you know, a little bit more about his background and, like, why he and Vidian have such rivalry, but he's more just there as a plot foil for Vidian, is in my recollection.
He's just annoying.
Well, that's more of what I was wondering, because I was like, I don't think we know why they hate each other.
I don't really think they hate each other for any particular reason other than that Vidian sees himself as so competent, and he sees Dantha as being just corrupt and, like, born into money and doesn't actually do anything for him, like, useful.
Corrupt? Okay. You don't say.
Yeah. It's interesting, though, because, like, we do get this view of, like, Imperial rivalries, and, like, we had Thrawn having enemies, of course, within the Empire, but we never really had him having a real rival within the Empire. Like, he had Nightswan, obviously.
Yeah.
But he didn't have a rival within the Empire, and, like, you kind of have this dichotomy, right, of Thrawn and Vidian, who thrive by being competent, versus kind of the corruption and decay of the Empire, which is, like, always... It's kind of fascinating because, again, it, like, makes you look at the Empire as, like, are these people doing good? Are they good because they're trying to not be corrupt, or are they evil because they're the Empire? And, like, I'm not trying to argue that Vidian is good or even on Thrawn's level I just completely lost the word, but, like, on Thrawn's level of, oh my god, this is wild.
Can you describe it, Chris?
Controversial? Kind of like controversial. Not controversial, though. Like, can't decide between the two? I don't know. It'll come to me. Take all of this out.
Okay. No, but I won't. You can't make me.
Like, Vidian is obviously evil, but he is, like, coming from a place of...
Polarizing,
yeah. It's closer than I had.
Sorry. Anyway, go on.
Ambiguous.
Ah!
Ambiguous. Morally ambiguous.
Yes!
That's
what I was looking for.
That
was a great journey that we all just went on there. Thank you for joining us. That's the podcast for today.
Chris, that can tell you a moral, story about how
morally spent, ambiguous.
Yep.
Chris, that can tell you a story about how we spent like 8 hours of a day trying to think of a word.
Oh God, I was gonna say, oh, don't even get started with it, because Kate's gonna just be throwing words out the entire podcast trying to see whether or not she can figure out what you're talking about.
That's true.
Yep.
Anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I would totally agree with that, Chris, but, well, it's not really a but, it's an and, I guess, more. Like, we know Thrawn's reasons for doing things, the whole motivations, there we go. We know Thrawn's motivations throughout the whole thing. He's like, if I rise in the Empire, then I will have more influence and I'll be able to help my people. Right? Mm-hmm. Whereas, like, Vidian, it's like, he seemingly just wants to, like, crush his rival, but, like, be very powerful, but also, like, maybe be kind of unable to die. Immortal is the word. Yeah, he just, yeah. Like, has all kind of stuff motivating him that I think is, whereas Thrawn was like, I need to do this for my people, the end.
Right. I definitely think power is an important part of it, just because you look at the all the cybernetic enhancements, like, he deliberately chose these enhancements and he deliberately chose not to be human. And I think power is a huge driver of that, just because he spent so much time apparently being so ill and not being able to do anything. And so I think he really relishes having that adrenaline rush of being able to control things. And so when Dantha steps in and he's just being a little dick about everything, that's what really pisses Vidian off.
Yeah, you really get the sense that Vidian is compensating for something. We don't know whether or not it was, like, obviously he's like, I was sick. And I'm like, okay, but were you also, like, a little shrimp before who couldn't do anything? And now you want to just be able to kill people with your, like, animatronic arms? Animatronic isn't
precisely
the right words. That's what animatronics are. What are is
your
it's
arms are actually
world,
the
but
characters from It's a Small World. Yeah. Yep, exactly where I was going with that.
I was going to say that of Pirates of the Caribbean. Both are great.
Oh my God. Yep.
Both are great animatronics rides.
Oh my God. I really think It's a Small World is trying to kill me, so thanks for that, guys. Anyway.
So welcome.
Tiny, tiny animatronic murder.
I'm going to cry, stop.
Arms. Murder arms.
Murder arms.
Yay.
I was just throwing in a point, because I didn't read the outline, about how Vidian was probably compensating for something.
No, that's real.
Yeah,
totally. I got nothing to add to that. I just thumbs up. Totally agree.
Well, yeah. And I think, like I said it earlier, I think now we want to talk about sort of the other side of things, the rebellion side of things, because we just talked about how Vidian and Thrawn and how they kind of fit on the moral scale between like really fucking evil and kind of morally ambiguous.
Totally.
Oh yeah. Speaking of ambiguous versus evil, this, like, it kind of relates to, like, a very long-running discussion we've had about various characters within the Rebellion, and again, I guess within the New Republic as well. But this kind of concept of Rebellion versus terrorism, and, like, obviously you have the heroes of the Rebellion, obviously, like, the main concept and the main heroes of the original, or all the trilogies, like, you have the good guys, right? Like, they're the ones rebelling against evil, fighting for freedom, yada, yada, yada. But, like, in the books, we do see a lot more moral gray area. Again, that moral ambiguity that now I'm just going to drop in as a buzzword for the entire episode.
Thanks, Chris.
So welcome. Because, like, we have Hera, and Hera is kind of your stereotypical good guy, right? Good lady, good, awesome character.
Yes.
Good Twi'lek.
Good Twi'lek. She's a hero. Good curvy Twi'lek.
She's a protagonist.
Kirby Twi'lek wife, yes.
Oh, gosh.
But, and so you have her as a protagonist, and she's very noble, you know, is clearly working for some sort of rebel cell. As I think we talked about last week, she's probably working for Fulcrum at this point.
Yes.
Yeah.
But then you have Skelly, and he's kind of just this, like, he's like delusional, and
he's such a trash baby. I mean, I know he's like a disabled vet, so I shouldn't say that, but he's such a trash baby sometimes.
No, he's a little shit. It's true.
He's definitely a little shit, and I enjoyed the gif that Kate tweeted. of the actual footage of Skelly on our Twitter at Book Wars Pod.
John Jackson Miller loved it.
So. Yeah, yes, you should go check it out. But basically,
it's from
like
an Always Sunny episode. If you might actually know the GIF if we just tell you it's from Always Sunny, but you should look and it's funny.
Anyway.
Yeah, but he's a crazy conspiracy theorist, and like, you have him being like, against all evidence, being like, Vidian's gonna help me. Vidian's gonna turn all this around, and then Vidian beats him to a crisp.
Beats him to a crisp.
That's right.
Beats him to a crisp.
Where's our fire hands? On?
I don't know, it's Thursday,
his
man.
Tiny animatronic fire hands. and then he just turns crazy. Like, he just starts throwing bombs, literally.
Yep, it's true. It's what's fascinating to me about, because I see on the magical outline that you're talking about rebels, freedom fighters versus terrorists, and of course we've talked about Saw endlessly.
This being Saw Gerrera.
Yes, we've talked about Saw Gerrera absolutely endlessly. And what's interesting to me is that when you have a character like Hera, she's obviously fighting for a larger cause, and she says that repeatedly in the book. She says that all the time in Rebels. She's pretty selfless. You know, she's out there, and she's fighting for a larger ideal. Whereas you have someone like Skelly who... He says, I'm out to get Vidian because I want to get Vidian, because Vidian screwed me over and he stole all of my ideas from the disc I gave him, and now he's going to use them to blow up a moon that I told him not to.
That's no moon.
It's not a moon anymore. That's for sure.
You're so welcome.
Well, and then, can I just put one thing in while you continue?
Yeah.
And we have Hera actually in the book directly addressing this point that Kate's making, which I thought was really interesting, but keep going.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right about that. What I was going to say is Saw falls into this kind of fascinating middle ground between the two, I think, where I think Saw thinks that he's fighting for a larger ideal, but also he's just still fucked up about Steela.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. We definitely talked about
yeah,
that.
Yeah. So he's kind of a little bit deluded about, he's not really being that honest with himself about his complete reasons for being a rebel.
Which is different than Skelly. Skelly's being completely honest with himself. He's just a kook.
Yep.
Yeah, that's definitely true.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting, just like these because Skelly, like, how are we supposed to feel about him? Because he's, you know, he's against the Empire, which by definition makes him a good guy, but he's also A, crazy and like wantonly trying to kill people, and B, just a pain in the ass.
I know. LOL at Hera going, what the fuck? Why were you just throwing bombs? Can you stop it?
I know. She's just like literally driving the struggle bus, asking Kanan to fucking stop this asshole from throwing pipe bombs out the back.
I will turn this bus around.
That is mom all the time.
That's pretty much true.
Hate mom.
I know.
It's so good.
Oh, if you want to hear more Saw talk, Chris, what episodes are those in?
Oh, what an excellent plug, Kristen. If you are a more recent listener and you missed our discussion of Beth Reavis's Rebel Rising in episodes 1-3, we talk a lot about Saw Gerrera, Jyn Erso, basically this whole concept of rebellion versus terrorism and where that line is. So we definitely encourage you to take a listen to episodes 1-3 of the podcast.
Thanks, Chris. I have no concept of timeline, both in the Star Wars universe and in our universe.
And in real life.
That's right.
Speaking of two characters that we just mentioned in passing, Kanan and Jyn, that's another really interesting dichotomy.
Mm-hmm. Right. I've been waiting to make this, draw this parallel since we read Rebel Rising, because I am also, much like Skelly, a crazy person. Mm-hmm. They're both really interesting in that, obviously, Jyn, you see her being brought up by her father, trying to oppose the Empire. You know, she doesn't like the idea of it, and Rebel Rising, obviously, she gets raised by Saw, and you see her being trained to become a rebel, and to fight against the Empire. And, of course, Kanan was a Jedi, and he has probably the most reason out of most people in the entire galaxy to oppose the Empire and to want to hate them, because of course they destroyed his entire way of life. But what you see is that they go through so much trauma with Jim being abandoned by Saw and Kanan not having any recourse after the Jedi Order is destroyed, that they essentially turn their backs on the whole thing. They don't want any part of the rebellion. They choose to just ignore that anything's going on and try to, you know, stay hidden and live as normal a life as they possibly can. And they both have this version of Jin says in Rogue One, you know, if the Empire's not a problem if you're not looking for it. And Kanan basically feels the same way. He says something similar. And I just think it's interesting to have these, again, we're talking about gray areas and gradations. So you've got Hera's a rebel, Skelly and Saw are on that side, and they just, but they're not quite doing it right. And then you have Kanan and Jin, and then you have the Empire on the other end. And it's just interesting to see all that lined up really, really well in this novel.
Yeah, Kanan and Jin and Han Solo, who can't seem to fucking stay out of things.
Yep, right? Seriously.
Yeah, it's just, it's such a good view lately in the Star Wars universe that good and evil isn't, it's not a dichotomy. Like, it's not the end-all be-all. Like, it's a spectrum. Like, and you have, you know, you've got your Luke Skywalkers, you know, your paragons of good, or maybe he isn't. Hashtag The Last Jedi.
Ooh.
But you have your Luke Skywalkers, you have your Reys, you have your Obi-Wan Kenobis, and then you have, obviously, your Palpatines, your Darth Vaders, like, your purely evil character, your Snokes, your purely evil characters. But then you have this whole spectrum. You have Saw, and you have Jin, and you have Kanan, and you have Vidian, and you have Kylo Ren, and you have all these really conflicted characters, and it's just so interesting that the books are giving us this opportunity to explore them in more depth.
I think Vidian's right. Evil as fuck, so I would like to put him in the evil.
That's
as
true.
Fuck category.
He'd be pretty close to Vader.
Because when he pushed Lal in the bad vat of death, I was so upset. I was so upset. It was super upsetting. Yes, the bad vat of death, Kate. Something. I don't remember what it's called.
Acid bath. But yeah.
Quinn is making dinner, if you can't hear what that noise is.
It's fucking great. Thanks, Quinn.
I go, sorry.
Oh my god.
No, the part with Gord just absolutely killed me.
It also killed me. I was so sad. I think it makes it sadder for me because I actually am married and I was just like, oh god.
Oh my
what have
god.
You got?
It's the worst.
I know. Like, what if you got shoved in the acid bath? First of all, that would suck for you. Second of all, I would be very upset.
Yeah. Also, like, that's just a horrible way to go. Like, she did not dissolve quickly.
No,
he was pushing her into the vat with, like, well, you know, one of those pool sticks.
I know, he was literally poking with her a stick so she would die faster. I was so upset. It was really, really upsetting. It was horrible. Why are you laughing, Chris?
It's just awful.
You're smiling right now.
We're laughing.
Everyone
he's know. Like me, just murder laughing last week.
Yes, exactly.
Anyway.
All right. So that got weird. Anyway.
Yeah. Hashtag murder laughing.
That so weird. So one of the questions I had for you all that I wanted to talk about was, Chris, what you were saying about good and evil not being a strict dichotomy. George Lucas said, and we've talked about this before, at Star Wars Celebration, that when he thought of Star Wars and he was conceiving the story and everything, he did see it as a teaching tale. It was a moral tale about this is what evil looks like and this is what good looks like. But, of course, as the universe has expanded, it makes it more interesting to put in those shades of gray and those layers of moral ambiguity. So I'm just wondering what you guys think Star Wars currently defines heroism and courage as.
Well, you know my whole thought on the fandom freaking out about that stuff. I'm like, it's a space opera. It's a space opera. It's a space opera. It's a space opera. It's right. a space opera. It's a space. Like, how many times do we have to talk about that? But that's different than the question that you're asking. I don't know, Chris, do you have thoughts?
I mean, other than complaining about the Star Wars fandom is a whole different podcast, but.
Damn!
No, you're all great. There are some annoying, exclusively white men on Twitter.
Womp, womp, womp.
No, but I mean, I think it is really interesting because you have so many different kinds, like exactly like you said, because I mean, I'm thinking of, and this is kind of a very niche reference, but like go with me here because don't kill me. In the novelization of Revenge of the Sith.
Ooh, controversy. Go on.
Well, I mean, controversy because it's a fucking novelization, which, as a rule, are not very good.
A novelization of one movie in a very hated set of movies, but go on.
Yes, accurate. But in the novelization of Revenge of the Sith, and as well as some other books in the Legends universe, but the only one that's still canon is the novelization of Revenge of the Sith.
Wait, really?
The only reference to this that's still canon.
Okay, go
what
on.
I'm about
go
to
on.
Say.
Sorry.
Okay. You have, and obviously it's about the Clone War, and you have a depiction of Anakin as not just being, you know, a hero of the Clone Wars, but being the hero of the Clone Wars. He is the literal poster child. He is the one in all the propaganda hollows. He has been adopted by the citizens of the Republic as who they call the hero without fear.
I was just going
to
say.
Yeah. And that's, I believe, the only reference to Anakin that is still as the hero without fear that is still canon.
I love that too.
And it's
there's so much
so
there.
Many levels.
We can
so
unpack that forever, but we'll do it when we go back to a Vader comic. But anyway.
Yeah, exactly. But so you have this image of him selflessly throwing himself into all these unwinnable battles and winning them because he's a Jedi Knight. And he is strong in the Force, and he is unbeatable, and he is the hero without fear. But then, obviously, he's not, like, as Kate said, we'll unpack it another time, but it's pretty obvious he's not without fear. He's got a lot of fear and anger in him. And then you have all these other heroes that we talked about. You have your Kanans, your Jyns, who are very afraid. Like, Kanan is terrified of getting recognized and terrified that the Empire is coming for him.
Yeah, he lives in fear every day, all the time, constantly.
Yeah, so again, it's like, I feel like it's almost an evolution of the Star Wars universe and where the canon is going these days from George Lucas's original ideal of, like, it's a parable. You have, again, good versus evil. But it's becoming more of a human, you know, in the sense of we are humans reading it and our emotions that we're experiencing, not the characters, but more of a human tale.
Right. I mean, emotionally, it is significantly more grounded in reality. That is true.
Agree. Sorry, I don't have, like, a whole lot of groundbreaking thought about this.
That's cool. I just wanted to throw the question out there because it just popped into my head as I was reading and, you know,
I love it. As somebody who, like, I don't know, I grew up very aware that I was never going to be, like, the Luke Skywalker type hero in people's lives. Like, I was, like, a nerdy kid who, like, didn't really do anything. Like, I was under no auspices that I was, like, going to save the galaxy one day. And I kind of like that there's more definitions of heroes that we can look at now. Like, you have, you know, I mean, obviously, most heroes that we're looking at are still, you know, physically strong, really great, you know, like Kanan is a Jedi, Jyn was trained really well, but you've got your, like, your Zaluna Miters, like, you're, like, small little Solistin who's just a nerd who wants to do good.
I love her.
You've got your Heras, you've got, like, I like that we're diversifying what it means to be a Star Wars hero these days.
Right, I mean, well, first of all, I mean, you mentioned Kanan, but Kanan's a horrible Jedi, like,
oh, yeah.
The most hysterical thing about the first two seasons of Rebels is that he's an awful Jedi. He is terrible. Terrible at being a Jedi. Like, and it's just, it kills me. It's hysterical. And I think it's really one of the first times that you really see a Jedi be imperfect in his practice. Like, obviously, Anakin, you know, he made his mistakes, to put it very lightly.
Hashtag made some mistakes.
Mistakes were made.
Yes, exactly. But, you know, like, in practice, like, he was a perfect warrior. He was an incredibly adept force user. You know, he had his hiccups when he was training Ahsoka, but all in all, he was a really capable in pretty much every aspect of being a Jedi, except for the not marrying people part, but whatever. Kanan's atrocious. He can't fucking lightsaber fight. He almost pops himself a hernia trying to, like, lift things with telekinesis. Like, it's hysterical. And of course, you know, as the show goes on, he grows and develops and everything else. But no, when he first saw that, he's a terrible Jedi. He's horrible. It's endearing and it's refreshing. And I completely agree. I really like that we're moving toward this space where our characters are allowed to be flawed, but we can still admire them, and which is totally healthy and awesome at the same
time. Totally. My favorite thing about Kanan being a flawed Jedi is that, like, especially right now when we're meeting Hera and Kanan, they have, like, such similar abilities, and mm-hmm. it makes me laugh so much because I'm like, he's a Jedi, he's strong with the Force, lol, she's not, she's all of our curvy Twi'lek wives. And they're just, like, doing exactly the same thing, and it just kills me.
No, it's true. I think my favorite thing is that, like, Kanan is force sensitive, and he can theoretically use the Force to drive Expedient through this horrible minefield of debris from having blown up half of Cinda. He could do that if he wanted to, but he's like, Hera's the better pilot, so I'm gonna let her do that. Hera's got nothing, like, supernatural or special about her. She's just fucking awesome.
Absolutely.
Which is entertaining.
Yeah, it makes me wish that, like, she was able to do, I mean, like, callback to, what was the Leia book called?
Bloodline.
I don't know what anything is ever called. I know, it's not my fault. When in Bloodline, when we have Han, like, doing all of his crazy pilot shit, and in, like, the mini story, the short story by Delilah Dawson.
Yes.
I'm like, Hera would kick the shit out of all this. Thank you. Right? Sorry.
No, you're right. You're right, though. You're totally right.
I'm like, Hera would do great in all of this.
I know.
Oh, I mean, I think that's a whole nother can of worms that we don't want to open of who's the better pilot, Han versus Hera. But I know where Kate stands on it, and I don't want to blow up our mentions this much, so we don't need to do this.
Chris and I debate this.
Just gonna make this a Twitter poll. Why would we not want to blow up our mentions?
Alright, that I would do that.
Okay. Oh yes, you know what? That's a great idea. I'll do that next week when we release the episode.
Also, this is the first pod in the new apartment and my boyfriend is literally making us dinner and I'm not gonna edit out any of those noises because cross country podcast.
Woo!
And you guys are he's on team make me dinner so I don't die, and you guys are on team make Kate shower. And
that's all right. While Kate was talking earlier, I literally walked away from the mic to go pour us tea and then came back, so you can go back and listen to that and see if you can hear it.
Perfect. Anyway, that was less to you guys and more to our listeners that, yes, I know that there are pots and pans, but someone is making curry so that I don't die.
God, that sounds cool.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Can I come over?
Yeah, sure.
Hashtag behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Exactly. Anyway, I just needed to put that in there so that I wasn't thinking about it.
That's hysterical.
All right, well, to get back to who we were...
Yes, who we were talking about. This is my point, so I'm going to talk about it. Chris,
I know. Well, I was... Be my guest.
Oh my God, stop fighting.
Rude. Not fighting!
Mom and Dad aren't fighting.
We're having a discussion.
We're having a loud discussion. Anyway, so we've already started talking a little bit about what more we find out about Kanan and Hera's early days. But let's talk even more about that. I think one of the things that I wanted to point out here that's really fun for me is that Hera's always been the leader of the operation and Kanan's always been their strategist, their tactician. And she literally calls him that. I think that there's this really adorable moment where he's just like, you're the pilot. And she's like, well, you're the tactician. And I was just like screaming. It was healthy and good. But I really love that about them. I think I read this bit of trivia somewhere that in Rebels, Kanan's Spectre 1 and Hera's Spectre 2, but that's just to throw people off because Hera's really the brains of the operation and Kanan just makes it happen. And I really like that dynamic is already there. Yes. From the get-go, and I think that's great.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of just goes back to something we talked a lot about when we read Bloodline. More shout-outs to the pod. We read Bloodline by Claudia Gray in episodes 4 through 8. Go listen. But one thing that we talked about is women run Star Wars.
Fuck yeah.
Women keep the Star Wars universe on track. This is very much a Han and Leia vibe.
Totally. Totally. And it's just, is that just they're snarking at each other? But, you know, Hera's a lot more of a gentle being than Leia is, but she's still the driving force. She's the one steering, you know, Zaluna in the right direction, keeping her calm, reining Skelly in, just managing Kanan and his cynicism. She's doing all the things. And it's, you know, no, it's no surprise that a woman has to do all this, because what do women do in their everyday lives and their families? They do exactly that.
Yep. I was going to say, that's because Hera didn't grow up in politics. And I was like, yes, she did. I'm an idiot.
She totally did.
It's different, though.
It is. It's not.
Her dad wasn't a senator or anything, right?
No.
I mean, her dad was a rebel all his life. He was a freedom fighter.
Right.
So she didn't really grow up in politics. She grew up in, like, military.
That's true.
Like, her dad never, I don't believe, had a political role. He went from fighting the Republic to fighting the Empire.
Yeah, like, that was pretty fast turnaround, I'm assuming.
Yeah. So.
This is why we have you guys on the podcast, because...
But...
We'll read more about James Syndulla whenever we read Lords of the Sith. He's a main character in there.
But I do feel like she might not have been, like, into, like, super fancy-schmancy official galactic politics, but you see in the episode, I think it's in season... 3?
Yeah.
Right, where Hera's Heroes, where she goes home and tries to get her family heirloom. That's a big house. Like, it's a really nice house.
So cool.
Like, I feel like... Yeah, like, I feel like...
How do I rent that on Airbnb?
Oh my god. Well, it's blown up now,
yeah,
so
I was gonna say you can't now.
All right. His chopper blew it up.
You guys always have to be like, that person's dead. That is blown up. You can't do that.
Yeah, well, I know.
Kristen,
we're talking about something that doesn't exist. Yeah, so I'm aware.
Anyway, because it's in a galaxy far, far away. So okay. You know what?
Damn. All right.
And a long time ago, Chris.
I mean, lending credence to my point.
Oh my fucking god. What I was saying was that I feel like her father had to be someone prominent in their family clan because he had such a giant fucking house. Like, just based on that alone, and the fact that he was so prominent in the military structure as such as it was on Ryloth.
Yeah, totally.
So, anyway.
Agree.
And I could say a lot more things this episode about Kanan and Hera's characterization, but do we want to save that for another pod, or like what? Because I could go on for like 10 years.
Yeah, oh, your giant rant about Kanan and Hera?
Up screaming.
Not about Kanan and Hera, about people's reactions to Kanan and Hera?
Ish. But it's both.
It's both.
I know. We might have to like a bonus trash pod with like maybe without Chris of just like me. Like I'll have Kate write her own questions and I'll ask her her own questions and then she'll answer.
Oh my god, I'm not so kidding. Stupid and great.
That'd be fun. No, we could probably do that next episode.
I don't know.
Not next episode. I was going to say it can come out concurrently with the wrap up so we can have one.
Yeah, it'll be like a bonus.
And one
it'll be a bonus episode, and it'll be a mini episode in name only because I'll just stream for an hour.
Yeah, and I'll have to edit it down. It'll be great. Anyway,
because I have a lot of feelings. Anyway,
this is what it's like behind the scenes, guys. We're just like, let's create bonus content of Kate screaming,
and then Chris is like, no, we can do it as actual content.
Yeah. Exactly.
This is literally what it's like behind the scenes.
It's pretty good.
It's great. No, I mean, I kind of love the way that it was written so closely. Like, their meeting and development was written so closely to Han and Leia, where it was like, Han kept trying to get away, just like Kanan's always trying to get away, but then something happens.
That's so true.
And he can't get away. And I mean, that's like a very, like, normal trope. Like, that's not... groundbreaking stuff here, but
and that's so Star Wars. Yeah,
and it's super Star Wars. But I just like love it. He's like, I don't know, I can't stop looking behind me. And then like the fucking Cinda blows up, and he was like, okay, and now I'm going to go back to that situation.
Yeah, Kanan, I don't know why I just can't stop helping her with things, because you're in love with her, you fucking idiot.
Yeah.
I think you were in on this, but I was just talking to Miranda at Real Baby Bird, because I've been mentioning her in every episode.
Friend of the pod.
Friend of the pod.
For real.
Yeah, but she was, she's just started watching season 2 of Rebels. She's watching it for the first time. And she was, he was talking about that scene where, the Spectres are thinking about joining up with the larger rebellion, the Phoenix Squadron. And Kanan's not really for it at that point, and Hera totally is, and they're having an argument in the hallway. And if you go back and you look at that, I think it's in the season premiere for season 2.
Yeah.
And you go back and look at that, Kanan and Hera having that heated discussion, it is a shot-for-shot recreation of Han and Leia screaming at each other in a corridor on Hoth before they have to evacuate. And it's hysterical. Like, listen, Space Married is both canon and endgame, obviously, even if they won't quite say it yet, but there's just so many visual cues like that. Like, obviously Star Wars is very iterative, and they love making references to older media and things like that, but there's just so many visual cues. They're just like, obviously, they are together.
Yeah,
and that is very important to me.
Yeah, that's what I love about all the Star Wars media. They're just all so self-referential.
Right. And it's a little bit of fan service, but also, like, it's, I don't know. We've talked about this before. I like that winking attitude that Lucasfilm has about it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It is totally fan service, but it's not, like, fan service for the sake of fan service, which would make it bad.
I totally agree.
It's, like, fan service that is funny. And, if you didn't know it was fan service, you wouldn't think that it was fan service.
Absolutely. Like, it doesn't do anything to the storytelling, but if you get the reference, it just tickles you.
Yeah, for sure.
Totally.
For sure. I don't know. That was, like, my main takeaway, especially because I, like, read all of this in, like, the last 2 days, so. There's a lot of it. Sorry. Almost like I've been moving. And, like,
almost.
Everything's been exploding. No, I mean,
the other thing about this book is just, like, it's really fast-paced, and, like, everything comes at you fast, which is, like, it just makes you want to binge read, honestly.
Kind of like how life comes at Kanan fast.
That's right.
Oh, my God! Leave Dad alone!
He doesn't see it coming. Anyway, so...
Oh, my God! I've had it with both of you. I'm quitting the pod.
No, you're not. No, you're not. Who will you talk trash about with?
You're right.
I know I'm right. You're That's right. Why we're friends.
I'm going to force my fanfic upon. Anyway.
You never have to force it upon us. We love it. No, but I think, like, oh, I had a point at some junk. Oh, I think it's just, like, one of the better. I think we've all liked all of the books that we've read, but, like, I've really been digging this book.
Yeah, I think it's, out of the ones I've read, it's definitely way up there in my favorites. Like, I think it might be my favorite one I've read so far.
It's really good.
Like, absolutely no knock on anything else we've read, because all of it is just so high caliber. But I just love the writing in this. It's like, it's just like this classic Star Wars rollicking adventure, and we'll talk about more about this in the wrap-up episode, because we always talk about genre and whatever.
Yeah.
But just, like, the characterization, the dialogue totally nails it.
Yeah.
And it's just so good. Anyway.
I will say, of all the books that we've read, this one, in a weird way, feels the most Star Wars.
Yeah. Totally. We'll talk about it more.
I was going to say, we're going to talk about all of this more, but let's at least plant the seeds for people to think about. Is this John Jackson Miller's first Star Wars book?
Oh, no. He has plenty.
Okay, but they're all, obviously,
stuff that is no longer canon.
Okay. Well, and that's, like, what I was thinking is, Star Wars presents this, like, very interesting, difficult problem for a lot of these authors that have written Star Wars in the past, right? Where it's like, they have built out a lot of this, like, they've done a lot of world building and character building, and they have to find this, like, weird way to be true to, I mean, I can't even imagine, like, especially some of the quote-unquote good books, because we know there's some trash in the non-canon stuff now.
Giant honors!
Right. But, I mean, like, I mean, Kate's an author, right? It's like, you get so attached to these characters, and just to, like, have Disney turn around and be like, actually, this is just no longer canon, so...
Right.
If you want to write another thing, you have to make it different enough that it fits into this thing, but also you can make it kind of the same, but not exactly the same. Like, what a difficult thing to go through as an author.
I know. I mean, I obviously John Jackson Miller in this one is not writing about characters that he ever had before because they didn't exist before. Sure. But I'm just thinking about Tim Zahn having to revisit Thrawn and having invented Thrawn's and I mean, well, okay. To be fair, I don't know.
And that's really what I was thinking of, Kate. So thank you for just like being explicit about it. I don't know why I was thinking around.
But... I just can't imagine what it's like to have to go back and just revisit this character. And granted, he's looking at Thrawn at a time in his life that he'd never explored before, but having to do it in a galaxy that is the same, but also shifted just enough that it matters, that would drive me bonkers. Like, I would go crazy.
Yeah.
Like, I would have to, like, oh my god, I would probably have to have, like, Wikipedia up and just, like, cross-reference everything and have, like, what is that, like, the Star Wars Dictionary or Encyclopedia of, like, everything canon ever, like, that somebody put out? Yeah. Like, I would need that. Like, I would spend probably 2/3 of my time cross-referencing stuff and then only 1/3 of my time actually writing.
Yeah. Well, and it kind of gets into something else that we're also going to talk about more, but just to plant the seeds, is like this concept of developing characters that we already know versus developing characters that are totally new.
Totally.
And like the different challenges that are inherent there.
Yeah. Keeks, what were you going to say?
Oh, no, I was actually going to say something very similar to what Chris just said.
Oh, cool beans.
So, yeah. And then the other thing I was going to say but let's save it for the wrap up and the Kate Trash Fire bonus pod.
Are we actually going to do that?
Because
we'll talk off air.
Yeah, Chris,
if you're listening, you are going to get the Kate Trash Fire. It just depends on if you get it in a bonus pod or it's just part of the next episode.
That's right. Oh, it's like, it can't be part of the next episode. It's just too many feelings.
Well, I could put it together a set of PowerPoint slides for this whole fucking argument. But anyway.
Manfriend just brought me another beer that we just opened up that I didn't even know I had. So I'm just going to talk about it because this is Beverage Pod.
Yes.
It's Gigantic, which is one of my favorite breweries. They actually make my favorite.
I thought you were going to be like,
it's Gigantic, which is the only way you should drink beer.
No, I mean, actually it is a 22, but it's a half of a 22. But no, the brewery is called Gigantic. They're out in an industrial part of Southeast Portland. But it's called Hole in the Head Imperial IPA, and the hole is W-H-O-L-E. And it's got a very cool bottle, so I might tweet out a picture of that.
Please
I also
do.
Might, I might put that next to the bottle of rosé that I'm still drinking, because it's really cool. But it's, sorry, I just need to share this because you guys like beer, so.
No, it's fun.
It says, a freaking hop bomb. Bright, multi-layered citrus hop aromas and flavors blow up your face with just the right amount of hop bitterness to back it all up.
Mm-hmm.
So they actually make my favorite, like, plain IPA, like, in Portland, which is saying something because I've had most of them, so.
All right.
But anyway.
Love it.
I'm going to have my first sip now, and then I'll let Chris wrap us up.
All right. Well, that is perfect timing. Yeah. So that is the end of. I'm so glad. That is the end of episode 16 of the Book Wars Pod. A couple administrative notes to wrap us up. First of all, next episode, if you're reading along with us, and we hope that you are, we're going to be finishing up A New Dawn. So we're going to be reading chapter 37 all the way through to the end. So we definitely hope that you join us for that and read along with us as Kate just grins.
I love this book. It's fine.
And then we wanted to do one little housekeeping note as well. We are recording this on August 31st, which means that by the time you hear it, Force Friday will have come and gone. September 1st is a big day for Star Wars. A bunch of merchandise is being released, and a bunch of books are being released. Phasma by Delilah S. Dawson,
woo,
as well as Leia, Princess of Alderaan,
woo,
by Claudia Gray, are going to come out tomorrow as we're listening to it. They'll have come out already by the time you hear this.
Happy book birthday, guys.
Yeah, yes. We are super excited to read both of them, and you should buy them immediately to help those two wonderful authors get on the bestseller list.
They're both fantastic, and we highly recommend them.
Yes.
Go to your local, buy them both.
Buy both of them at the same time, as soon as you see them.
Yes.
Tweet us a picture, please, of those.
Yes. Thanks.
Yes, do it.
Tweet Book Wars Pod.
Yes, tweet a picture of those to us at Book Wars Pod. Take a picture of them sitting next to your dog, perhaps, and then I will definitely...
Oh, yeah, good call. That being said, while you should buy them and read them immediately, we are probably not going to read them quite yet for a few reasons. Because as we've talked about, and as you all know, we try to keep things pretty current and like keep up with the books that are coming out. And I will happily take the hit for this because I generally take the lead on coming up with the schedule of what we read.
And to be fair, we came up with what is our current schedule long before we knew many of these books were going to come out, so not our fault.
Well, I don't even know that I would say that because I knew that these books were coming out. But so
they didn't tell me.
Well, so here's the reasoning that I started with and that Kate and Kristen agreed with. For Phasma, I am at heart a Star Wars purist. And to me, the movies are, bar none, some of the funnest parts of Star Wars. And I like to go into the movies with eyes wide open and not knowing much about what's going to happen. And so it's amazing that Phasma is part of The Journey to the Last Jedi, this huge promotional set that Lucasfilm was putting together. But we want to go into The Last Jedi only knowing what we already know about Phasma and not having any, you know, there wouldn't be spoilers, but not having any inside information. Because to me, that's part of the fun of the movies is learning all this stuff for the first time, learning these twists that you couldn't see coming.
What we know from the movies and what we know from the Twitter memes about Phasma, just those
exactly.
two things.
Exactly, the Phasma facts.
Hashtag Phasma facts.
Yes.
Look it up, guys.
So we are planning on reading Phasma early next year. Once everybody's had a chance to see The Last Jedi, then we're going to read Phasma, and then we'll be able to look back on Last Jedi and say, that's really interesting, I'm looking at something in a completely different way after reading the book. So that's the reasoning for that one.
We're also giving you the opportunity to put that and whatever other Star Wars books you want on your Christmas, Hanukkah, Festivus poll lists of things
on
that you would like.
On the Festivus poll!
That's bounce right. it on top.
What if your Festivus poll was made of a stack of Phasmas?
I would love it. That's on brand for Phasma.
Why would that be weird? No, I mean,
oh,
a stack
of the
books.
Okay.
Not fucking Gwendolyn meant... Christie. Jesus.
Yeah, that's why it would have been weird.
No, that's insulting. She's a beautiful woman. Leave her alone.
She's great. Okay. That's why I was confused.
Anyway.
Anyway, so that's Phasma. Leia, Princess of Alderaan, and this one I will definitely take the hit for because this was pretty much I came up with it myself. I am still sad that Carrie Fisher's dead, and I'm not ready to be done with Leia yet. Because Last Jedi is the last movie that we're going to have Carrie Fisher, and Leia, Princess of Alderaan is going to be, like, obviously a movie that we're really envisioning young Carrie Fisher, not a movie, a book, where we're really envisioning young Carrie Fisher as the title role. And, well, there won't be spoilers for The Last Jedi, because it takes place before A New Hope even happens. I want to stretch out the Carrie Fisher Leia experience for as long as I can. So we're going to read that one a little later next year. We're super excited for it. You should buy it. You should read it. You should tell us if you like it. But for folks who tweet at us and ask us when we're reading this book or that book, we wanted you to know why we are not reading these books quite yet, but they are very much on our radar and you should go buy them.
You said Carrie's name and now I'm just going to go like curl up in a ball in my set.
Me and Kate are so sad right now. I was just going to say, Chris is saying that he's going to take the blame for that, and then me and Kate are like, can we wait until 2020
yes.
to read it?
Thank you. this was a collaborative decision. It was, you know, I'm not a complete dictator.
No, you are the brainchild, but you know, you allow us to sign off on it.
Yes.
Kate, he's the tactician,
but, yeah.
Okay?
Oh my god.
Oh, you can see my face right now, guys. Oh my god, I'm screaming. I need to like find a blanket to put over my head so I can scream and not like blow your earbuds.
But yeah, I'm never going to be quite ready for us to be done with Carrie Fisher. So, but we will read Leia, Princess of Alderaan. I'm super excited to read it.
I'm getting my tattoo soon, though, theoretically, when my artist emails me back. I'm getting Princess Leia's blaster.
I'm supposed to be getting a tattoo of Leia, and I can't yet. I don't think. Anyway,
one more.
Yeah, I know. One more.
Is it hurting you? No, I'm just really sad. No. Yeah, go on.
One more housekeeping bit. I will be out of the country in a little while, for a week. So we're going to try to plan the pod around that. Otherwise, I'm going to make Avril Baby Bird sit in for me. So
that's totally cool. I'm down.
Yeah, that works. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. Hopefully it's going to be me, just because I love doing this. But otherwise, you get like a bonus. That's why there are three of us, and that's why we have people that we know and love to step in for us if we need them to. So
see, I hope it's you, because Miranda's always scared, and
oh, we're gonna scare the shit out of her.
No, you're not. It's gonna be great. Anyway, we love you, Miranda. But go ahead, Chris, take us out. I think that's all the housekeeping. We should really do it at the top, so that people don't shut us off.
No, nobody wants to listen to that shit.
Anyway, this has been episode 16 of the Book Wars Pod. Please hit us up on Twitter at Book Wars Pod, Book Wars Pod on Tumblr, bookwarspod@gmail.com.
The Tumblr is actually working right now. There are things in the queue. I threw a bunch of weird crap in the queue. Like, please follow us, for the love of God.
This is going to be weird shitpost memes, so I hope that you guys like those, because that's what it's going to be.
It's great.
So hit us up on social media. Please do share the pod with your friends. Rate, review, subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play. We really are trying to grow our audience and introduce more people to the amazing world of the Star Wars books, and we hope that you'll help us accomplish that goal. So until next week, I am Chris. I'm here with Kate and Kristen. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll talk to you soon.
I can't wait for Miranda to listen to this and be like, what? I know, right? Like, what is going to happen?
I know, right?